Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Secret Artists Podcast. I'm your host, Annie McGrath, and this week I am joined by the fabulous writer, performer, producer, Sadia Azmat. We talk about henna tattooing, we talk about her upcoming book, Sex Bomb, and we draw a couple of big trees. So hope you enjoy the episode. If you want to see our drawings, then follow us on social media at Secret Art Pod. Enjoy the episode. Sadia Azmat is a stand-up comedian and writer from East London. In 2018, she launched her critically acclaimed BBC podcast, No Country for Young Women, which explores ideas of home, identity, and belonging. Sadia has recently announced she's writing her first book, Sex Bomb, which is due to come out next year and is a vibrant, funny memoir about being, in her words, a horny Muslim. Hello, Sadia.
Hi, Annie. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm good. Nice to see you after so long.
I know. Even if it's on Zoom, it's still nice to see your face.
Oh, thank you. And yours.
And how is it being a horny Muslim?
Oh man, it's it was already bad for me before COVID. I know we won't talk about COVID a lot, but yeah, it's we're getting on with it. It's like, I don't know. I'm like literally not seeing anybody, so it's not fun times.
It's not fun times, no.
No.
But how's the writing of the book going?
Not fun time. No, I'm joking. it's going well. It's really like a long process and a lot more involved than I suppose I initially gave it credit for. So like, I was like, I can totally like just do this. And then like the first draft, they're like, this isn't very good. And then you have to like really rewrite. And so I'm kind of pleased with where I am now. But yeah, there's a lot of different layers, I suppose you could say.
Mm-hmm. And is it totally autobiographical?
Yeah, man. I mean, yeah, I know that you can like make some stories up, but I haven't done that.
Yeah, because you're quite young to be writing a memoir, aren't you?
I know.
Is it hard to find enough?
Yeah, you know what? I think that's very sweet of you, by the way. Checks in the post. I think that I tried to write a nonfiction a few years ago and I didn't find it easy. Like, you know, you have to do like a whole lot of like scene setting and like really a lot of character kind of work, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to do something that was realistic. So it was kind of a nice thing to stumble upon because I hadn't anticipated it to be memoirs. But it is definitely the style of writing that I like because it's not like stand-up, but it's similar to stand-up where you're drawing from your own experiences.
Yeah. So can you use sort of anecdotes that discussed on stage and things for the novel?
That's right, yeah. So it's a little bit about how I got into comedy, which obviously is a bit strange for somebody like me. I can profile myself, right, Annie? So
say someone like me, what do you mean?
What I mean is like, I guess a brown person, because it wasn't like, it was just not something that I thought was a possibility when I was at school and stuff like that, even though I loved like comedy, but it was just never something that I would have, thought that I could do.
Is that because you didn't see people like you performing?
A little bit. And also I was shit scared. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I was like really afraid. But yeah, I suppose also the people who I did see who were brown, like they were all doctors and all doing very serious things. Mm-hmm. So I just didn't see it as like a viable option in any way.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've made it. So
thanks.
That's exciting.
And we're going to do some art today. So have you chosen something for us to draw?
I'm so scared. Okay. And I'm please help me. But like the thing I thought of was like a tree.
Great.
Thank you. But yeah, you can also change it.
You didn't say that very confidently.
No, because your podcast is called Secret Artists, and I'm really worried that my secret is going to be found out, which is that I fucking suck.
I bet you don't. But also, it doesn't matter if you do, because it's about the process. It's like writing.
Wow. Well, I hate that too. No, that's fine. Then we're going to do
so this. Is there a specific tree that you've chosen?
I haven't, you know, Annie. I really haven't. Okay. I really wasn't sure. I like
that's all right.
The big trees.
Ah, yeah, the famous big tree.
What was that called? Oak tree? I don't know.
Oak tree,
I like an oak tree.
Should we get an oak tree up on the screen?
Yes, please. Oh, so are you gonna, that would be so good. That would be helpful.
I reckon that might help us rather than going in from the imagination.
And it's like a magical one where all your wishes come true.
Oh, great. That's exciting. I've got some purple card and I was going to just use pencil, but I'm worried it won't show up enough. Oh, that's a nice, that 400-year-old angel oak looks
wow.
nice.
Oh, wow. See, your eye, you have a really good eye. It just drew straight to that one. I was looking at the fucking ugly big one on Wikipedia, but...
Well, we can go for that. I don't mind.
No. It's not nice. That one
this
is
This one
really...
looks quite magical.
Oh, listen, I want to sleep there, man.
Well, go on then.
Where is it?
Let's find out. Oh, Mississippi.
Wow.
It'll be a bit far to go for sleep. And what medium are you going to work with, Sadia?
It's really basic. I'm so, so sorry. I have pen and paper.
That's fine. I'm going pencil on, well, card, but same sort
of thing. Wow.
It's a lovely tree.
Wow, it is. I think... That's really beautiful.
Oh, that's
it's
a nice
like
shot.
So
of it.
Big. Oh my God. It's I was so like, big. Wow. That's beyond my wildest imagining.
Your wildest dreams.
Yes.
Okay, great. Let's go for that picture. That's quite a nice perspective, isn't it?
I like it. Yeah, there's a nice mixture of light and dark.
And it looks quite abstract. The way it's like the branches are sort of protruding towards you. Right. I'm going in for it. So you say you don't really consider yourself an artist. Have you ever done much like drawing or did you do any at school?
Yeah, so basically like I remember my art teacher, her name was Mrs. Rogers. Mm-hmm. And she was quite cool. She was like, she had a very like, I don't think it was hippie, but I can't think of another way of describing it. Kind of like that type of dress sense. And she had like nice long blonde hair, like a hairbrush or an art brush, paintbrush. So, I mean,
I've never known someone be described to have hair like a hairbrush.
But I don't know. It wasn't bad hair, though. It was very nice hair. And I think that she was really cool. But I already knew that I couldn't, like, draw and stuff like that. I just knew I wasn't very good at it. And I also felt that it had to be, like, a compromise between writing or drawing. And I preferred writing.
Oh, really? What, did your school make you feel like that or was that a personal thing?
I think it was a personal thing. Like, I think it was like, because I was doing really well. Basically, as an Asian student, you didn't want to do badly at something. And so, obviously, it is good to work through it so you can get better. But, like, I think I was like, well, better at writing and I like writing more. And I think mentally I told myself that you can only do one thing well. So, like, I just didn't feel I was blessed with the art genes.
Right. And was it like you only allowed yourself one creative subject?
Because I wasn't good at music, but I was gutted about that. And I kept trying at that one, to be honest with you, like rapping and all that. But
yeah,
that's not gone anywhere, sadly.
Well, you're welcome to use this podcast to bring it back. If you've got any raps you want to do,
no,
for the listener.
I respect you too much, Annie. Start rapping Will Smith stuff.
Maybe at the end. Right, I've started on the sort of fat trunk of the tree. What have you gone for?
Wow. Yeah, I started on the left. You know that branch at the bottom that's touching the floor?
I
started a bit too low on the page, but it's fine.
It's a bit like something out of Stranger Things, this tree.
Yeah.
It's quite sort of...
we need trees like this.
Alien looking. Beautiful.
I like it a lot.
So did you feel pressure from your parents or is it just an inherent pressure that you felt to be good at everything.
I feel like they would have laughed at me if I was like, I want to do art. Because I remember when I used to play the violin and they were like, shut up, like you can't do this kind of thing. But I really liked playing the violin. I think I wasn't very good at it and I just felt like, yeah, I just felt like it wasn't for me kind of thing, which is a bit
sad. The violin is one of those instruments, if you're not good at it, it is so antisocial to the people around you. Whereas like if you're not that good at the piano, it still sort of sounds like a nice instrument.
Yeah, I was all right at the violin, but I think maybe my fingers was thick or something like that. So it took me a while, but then I think it's because I was passionate about it that I got into it. But I think that's what it is, isn't it? If you really like something, then do better at it.
Yeah, definitely. And if you have good teachers, that's
a big thing. And also you don't care if you don't do well because you're enjoying it.
Yeah, that's true. So have you got any sort of favourite artists or anything? Are there people in terms of like painters or...
I really like Vincent van Gogh.
Oh yeah, I know him. Yeah. But I don't know him.
Yeah, because like I remember him because we were taught about him in school and I liked it. And I think people laughed at him for cutting his ear off and I never did. I felt a bit sorry for him. But also, you know that the sun, what is it? The daffodils one? The sunflower painting?
Sunflowers, yeah.
I really like that. I really, really always like that painting.
Yeah. What's your favourite Van Gogh painting then? Is it sunflowers?
I haven't looked at enough of them to be able to say, but I really do like the sunflowers one. But looking at all of these, I think there wasn't there one? No, I think I might be confusing it with another one. That blue one is nice with the flowers.
The sort of blossom tree on the left.
Yes. Wasn't there one with like sadness or something? A dark one.
Yeah. They're all quite, I think they all have quite a lot of sadness.
He's great.
There's Starry Night, I really love. That might be one of the ones you're thinking of with the sort of spirally sky. He loved a bit of, he loved trees.
Wow.
A bit of trees, I was going to say. Yeah, that's one of my faves.
That's pretty. I'm all about the reflection stuff. That's really cool.
And the building in that reminds me of that, the hub spire in Edinburgh. Is that what I mean? The quite sort of gothic-y looking spire.
What is that, on the mile, is it?
Yeah, that's the Royal Mile, I think. When's the deadline for your book then?
I think I'm working fast and... Yeah, I don't know. There is a deadline. I thought we were going to have it done by now, which we haven't. But I've sent off like the edits for the structural edits, basically. So I'm waiting now for the editor to come back with like line edits, which is nothing to do with cocaine. It's a lot to basically checking every line, which I can't believe. I had no idea that was part of the process. So when I get them back, then I probably will spend about a month on them and then it has to go off for like another check. And then I'm hoping the proofs might be ready by October-ish.
Exciting. So is the idea that it's published before Christmas?
No, I wish. Basically, it's due to come out March next year, 2022.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And as it's autobiographical, are there lots of things you have to check with like family members and whoever's mentioned?
I mean, well, I'm not going to check with them basically just because they don't know that I'm a comedian. So I'm going to like basically see what I can get away with. I expect there will
be some. Then just see them in court.
Yes. Yes. Which I'm trying to like avoid, but I might not be able to avoid. I don't know. We'll see.
Of your family members don't know that you're a comedian?
Like all of them apart from my young brother.
So your parents don't?
No.
Wow. Is that difficult to keep it from them?
I don't live with them, so it's and they're not like, they don't watch comedy. And I didn't feel that it's like something they would support at the beginning.
Okay.
Because, you know, you perform at pubs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
For very little money. So like, I don't know how I would explain.
Yeah.
Just going to a pub and I'm going to make no money and I'm going to be very explicit.
So what do they think you do?
I was just doing a lot of office work and like temping and stuff.
Yeah.
So I guess they think I'm doing that.
They're actually, your family are all massive fans of this podcast. So,
they're not going to like my drawing, Annie. They're not going to like my drawing. It's going to make me sad.
Oh, that must be hard, though.
Yeah, it's all right. I think the writing has been very, I think, you know, when you just want to write honest stuff, that it is hard, but like, I think it's good. And I think people will relate to it as well, because I think sometimes like what I'm going through is like kind of similar in the Asian community, but like people just don't talk about it. So I'm hoping that it will make people feel, I suppose, less alone in their situations.
Yeah. Well, your podcast has a huge following, doesn't it? No Country for
Young Women.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's finished now, Annie.
I saw that. That's devastating. Are you going to do another series?
No, basically, so I've got a job as a producer now, Annie. Can you believe it?
I know. I also saw that. BBC Studios, is it?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Thank you. So, yeah, I'm just going to try my best to, like, work on that side of things for now.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, I'd love to do a podcast again, but I'm just, I guess I'm not going to rush straight away.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you've got enough on your plate to be getting on with. What has the producer role entailed so far?
Oh my God, I have listened to so much content in the last few weeks. I can't tell you. Like, I was like, I can't believe it, because I think for me, you know, before my thing was like, I want to create. Mm-hmm. But I think it's good to listen and like absorb as well. And like, I guess I wasn't as much.
Yeah.
So that's been very, very good. And I think reading scripts has also been like really joyous. And like,
so is this for like short form TV ideas, or is it all kinds of
For like audio dramas for Audible, for example, but some of them I think are like pilots for scripted TV.
Nice.
And it's so cool to be able to tell other people that I don't like their work, you know, like you always get the critique back. I'm not like that, by the way, but I'm just like, you know, the things that you want to change or suggestions of a change, like you're always on the receiving end.
I'm just imagining you at your desk just every day just emailing people, I don't like your work, best wishes, Sadia.
No, I'm just pushing it, because that's, I've had to learn the hard way to push it and up the ante. So
yeah, fun to be on the other side.
Oh, definitely. I'm just joking. I'm being mean, but no, it's good to give constructive feedback. And I think that's the thing when you're doing your own work, right? I love getting constructive feedback, because I kind of lose sight of what it is. Because, you know, if you read something over like 50 times, you just can't see a few things anymore. It's just looks differently to you, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And it's nice. It's rare in this industry to get feedback at all. You know, so often you submit scripts or go to auditions and don't hear anything. So it's actually nice to receive, even if it's, you know, criticism.
I think it's important, isn't it, to know that you're, you know, you've been acknowledged and stuff, and not just blanked.
Yeah. So are you going into the BBC, or are you working from home?
Currently both, like a little bit of both. So like there's a writer's room this week, so we'll be going in for that. But like,
oh, nice.
We're also working remotely.
Are you in White City or?
Yeah, White City.
I've just decided to draw some of the tiny little figures.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Picture.
Well, the people, yeah?
The people, yeah.
Oh, that's really cool. Because I was like stressed by the leaves, because I don't know how I'm going to do that. But like,
I've not done a single leaf, actually.
But that's a lovely idea. Like focusing on it's very earthy, the bottom part of the image, isn't it?
Yeah. It's nice. Is this the one in Mississippi? It looks almost like it could be Hampstead Heath. It's quite, like the light is quite British. It looks like very flat. Have you got any art in your house? Do you own any art?
I don't. Pictures? Well, I'm kind of staying with somebody at the moment, and she does. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really cool. So she has like this kind of picture frame of a movie called Girls on the Loose. Mm-hmm. This is like an old movie, and she has other things like fish and chips, what do you call it? Fish and chip, just kind of like a sign about fish and chips. So yeah, that's the picture on the, so she has this movie picture on, which I think is quite funny.
Oh, nice.
And I don't think it was just because I was here. But I love
it's a nice sort of vintage poster. Are they two women in red dresses?
Yes. And I think one is stabbing the other, which is obviously not what you want, but
girl gangs that stop at nothing, crime crazy, trigger happy. Love it.
And the blonde one, totally, I thought it was like Marilyn Monroe, but it's not.
Oh yeah, it does look like her. Is she hold? It looks like she's holding a dagger.
Yeah.
That's pretty yeah.
much what she, yeah. But the other one looks really sexy, man. She don't look like she's about to be killed.
No, it definitely does look quite sort of sexual, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I think, nice.
I wonder what that's all about.
And then what, a fish and chips? Something with fish and chips, did you say?
Yeah, it was just a bit about fish and chips. And I'm trying to think. Yeah, that's it really. Like, just I think should go and have a look, shouldn't I?
695 oh quid.
Jesus, she's rich, you know. She's she is rich. I was doing okay with the branches, but I've not I tried to imitate the leaves and I'm not happy with them, to be honest.
I think the thing I like about this tree is it already looks quite abstract and it doesn't look real. So I think any sort of representation of it can be as sort of weird as we want it to be. It doesn't have to look like anything.
I used to, what do you call it? So you know, henna, do you know hand painting?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I love henna.
I took a course in that and I was really shit, but I wanted to know how to do it. Yeah. And there were just loads of girls. They were just like, their hands were like machines and they were just so good at it. And I was like, I'm definitely not good at this art stuff.
Yeah. Henna is an amazing art.
It is really nice. It's like tattoo, basically free form, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So I kind of did okay, but then like I knew I wasn't as good as like the other girls, and so you have to be quite quick when you're doing brides and stuff. Like, you don't want to be taking like the whole day, because
yeah.
So yeah, I love drawing that. I do all that all the time. The one on the top right, that flower pattern is very common. So yeah, we use them. Well, you can kind of like have henna applied whenever you want, but we tend to do it over Eid or like weddings. Parties. Yeah, it looks
so you're an artist if you can do henna. That's incredibly artistic. And also you have to be super precise, don't you?
Yeah, I think I can do it. I think I need a good cone. If I have a good cone, but what happens, Annie, is when, think of a cornetto, but the opposite end of it with a pointy end. So once I've used some of the henna, then the art is you have to kind of squeeze down to push the henna in down the cone. And I think that's where I'm not that good. It's like
when you're icing a cake.
Yeah.
Like that pipe icing.
Exactly. So that's where I let myself down a little bit, is just the maneuvering the cone. But other than that, if it was like a pen, I would be so good.
That's so cool. So do you follow specific patterns when you do it, or do you
it's very
go
similar,
freehand?
You know, if you look at all of them, they're so similar. So you have a dot and then you go round and then you may draw some petals like that. Mm-hmm. And then you may do like, what is that one? You know that one that says henna, not just a pretty face? You do kind of like a paisley.
Oh yeah, I love that. Like a sort of teardrop.
Exactly. And then you just fill that in. So as you can see, it's just a dot and more petals, dot, more petals. And it's about the detail. So that's quite a simple thing. I think what I learned from the course was how to see the patterns rather than like just looking at it as a whole, is breaking it down. So there's a line from the index finger, you can see it's like a round curve, almost like a rainbow, and then some dots, and then another round curve, and then some like a dot, and then a line. And if he can show you the colour ones, because that's just with the paint on. But then when after you you let it dry for like 3 hours, and sometimes overnight, because you want the darker the better. And then it turns like a colour, basically, depending on your kind of body heat. But yeah, look down there. So that red one, you want it to be that colour, basically. Sometimes it comes a bit like funky orange, which doesn't look great. It's like a bad tan.
Right.
But you want it to be like a nice, glorious colour. So that's what brides get the night before the wedding.
It's so cool.
Oh, she's got it on her baby bump. What the fuck? Sorry. I've never seen that.
Your words, not mine. Is the circle shape sort of significant or symbolic then? No.
No, I think it's just to make it look like basically as fine and small and detailed, the better. Like if it was too big, I think Arabic henna is a bit bigger. And so I don't think it looks as nice as this. This looks very fine and special, basically, to me. So I prefer this one. Like, look at that woman. She's got it all the way up to her elbows. But there's other patterns that are a little bit bigger. Mm-hmm. But I think these ones are so special.
Yeah, they're beautiful. And it looks like, going back to the last page.
Yeah.
there's a lot of symmetry in it. Is that something that's important?
I think you'd want it to be. You wouldn't want, well, you can have different patterns, but similar designs. But I think, you know, like that one's very nice and symmetrical, isn't it? And like if say that the one of the, let's, whatever that crown is, say that was a bit lower on one hand and then higher on the other, you wouldn't want that kind of thing. So
yeah,
I think good artists can make it symmetrical.
But even within one, like the design on one hand in itself seems to be very symmetrical.
Yeah, I think what's really good is that, like you said with the trees, like you don't need any rules. So I think sometimes like when you go to get your henna done, like you can kind of tell them what you want. And I think these days, obviously show them on Instagram a picture.
They're beautiful.
They're nice, yeah, but I dropped out.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
You know what? I was trying to find myself, and it was one of many courses I did at the time to try and do that. And I kind of found that that was not, unfortunately, going to work out.
Where was it that you did the course?
It was community college, Annie.
Nice.
In the Ends in East London.
And was it predominantly Muslim women there, or is it quite a mixture?
I think there were not Muslims. I think there was like basically Hindus and Asians. I think maybe a few Sikhs, maybe a few Muslims, but I don't remember. But yeah, just brown women basically. Yeah, and the teacher was like a very brilliant artist as well. And she was like, I'm too big to do henna now. I don't do it. So
too
that's
big.
Funny. Yeah, you know when like she, it's almost like a museum.
I see. As in like too famous. Like it's
I'm too. I can't do it anymore and stuff.
First, I thought you meant physically.
Oh no. But she had a great hand. I think she liked teaching a lot, and I think she still did the odd bride now and again. But it's like you get a lot of money, I think, from that as well.
Well, I think anything when you're in the wedding industry, you can really up your prices, can't you?
Yeah, which is really horrible, isn't it? I did a makeup course and I thought that was pretty artistic.
Yeah, definitely.
But I don't know if it is. I don't know.
What sort of makeup?
So it was like a beauty course. So we did like facials and I thought that was really fun.
Yeah.
And then it was just like the first makeup course I'd ever done. So the woman was quite like, she knew what she was doing, but she wasn't such a great teacher. So I think it was different looks, day looks, evening looks and that type of thing.
Oh,
but
nice.
Yeah. And I quit that one as well, Annie.
There's a bit of a theme running here, isn't there? With your commitment to things.
I know. I think I just didn't enjoy it.
You like to learn a bit.
That was it.
Is it quite daunting with the book that you can't
quote Yes, it? I've wanted to several times, but unfortunately we have signed a contract.
Yeah.
I think it was just that I don't mind, as you know, with stand up, like obviously people know stuff and that's fine. But I think it's just I think I didn't know what I was getting into, and that was the thing. But I've enjoyed it, and I feel you get better at it the more you do it. So that's really good.
I guess with stand-up, it's slightly fleeting, isn't it? Like you can say an anecdote on stage, but when you're writing a book, you're committing something to paper is more daunting.
I like, there's so many different processes. So like the first bit where you're just like doing almost like a brain dump and putting all the ideas down, I really like that bit. But then when you have to listen to people's feedback and change it, then it's like, although I did say at the beginning of this that I enjoy feedback, which I do, but
you're
yeah,
just saying that. You hate it.
Well, I think it's like, you know, I definitely wouldn't stop writing. I would do another book for sure if I could.
Yeah.
and I hope it's better, but this is, it's not bad.
And it's called Sex Bomb. Is there a lot about sex, or is that just the sort of sassy title you've given it?
I think it's a play on the term that, you know, like with Islamic terrorism, bomb. Mm. But I think also in my culture, you don't talk about sex a lot. So for me, Sex Bomb represents the bomb of talking about sex. But also I do comedy and we bomb, like, you know, when you do comedy. So there's that as well.
We?
I bomb a lot. But I shouldn't say that. It's not in an attacking type of way. Hope people don't get the wrong idea from that.
I can't wait to read it.
Oh, thank you. I hope you really like it. Like, I literally, it was like the end of last year, which was a horrible year, right? 2020. Yeah. And yeah, like, I spent all Christmas just sitting there and writing. And yeah, it's been fun. It's really fun how it, I don't think structure is my best thing. So I think I'm really happy now that it's a little bit better structured.
Yeah.
But I just think structure is a strange one, because I thought it was already in good structure before I got told that the ordering needs work. But yeah, mm-hmm. No, that's been fun to kind of learn, I suppose.
So is it sort of chronological going through your life? Or?
Yes, I prefer that, to be honest with you. And also I can swear in a book. I didn't know. I was so happy.
You can what, swear?
Yeah, I didn't know you could swear in a book.
Yeah, I believe you can. It's quite a thrill. What's the worst word in the book?
Probably just the F word.
It's a classic. So when you were writing at Christmas, were you at home with family, or were you, where were you?
I was literally at that point, I was living on my own, and I don't know. I think I got the dates wrong. I thought it was out this year. So I was like, oh, okay, I better, little, you know, get it done. And then I submitted it and they were like, oh, this isn't due for like till the next year. And I was like, oh.
Well, that's good to be ahead.
Yeah. I suppose it was okay. And then I think, you know, like at the beginning of this year, it was like really tough with the lockdown. So it was really good to have something creative to do, because the podcast had finished and stand-up mm-hmm. was at a hiatus. So yeah. From that perspective, it was really nice to be able to do something. I think I've always wanted to do a book, but when I had a meeting with Penguin a few years ago, and the nice lady followed me on Twitter after, and then as soon as she saw some of my tweets, she unfollowed me, and I thought that was the end of my literary endeavours.
What did she see, do you think, specifically?
Probably something about Dick.
Yeah, I was going to say, I can imagine what that was.
Exactly. And so I feel really like grateful that I can kind of write a book that is kind of like, I suppose, authentic in terms of the things I would say, as opposed to putting on a different, like a writer version of myself.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you've been commissioned to write it for who you are and your style. So.
And then my editor, right, she's now signed the memoirs for Lil' Kim.
Wow.
Which is out in November. She signed my memoirs before Lil' Kim's memoirs.
Amazing.
I want to meet Lil' Kim. I might have to try, but I don't
know.
Well,
maybe you will, if you've got the same publisher.
Yeah, but I think Katie might go to, shout out to Katie's my editor. She might go to the States in November when Lil' Kim's is out, but maybe I can Zoom. No, I'm joking.
Maybe you could ask to go with her.
Yeah, because it's easy for Muslims to go to America, isn't it? I'm joking.
I'm not going to comment on that. How are your branches coming along?
The branches I'm not upset about, but there's very little else, Annie.
So mine looks a bit sort of gothic, I think.
That's fine. I think you're going to have to be very critical when you look at it, and that's fine as well.
Okay.
I'd rather you be honest.
So have you been in the position as a producer where you've been reading scripts from friends and people you know and having to...
No, I really haven't, which is probably better, because I don't know them, so I can just be a bit more...
honest.
Like, I actually think I read one where I knew who wrote it, and I read one where I didn't know. And I think the one I read that I didn't know was kind of helpful, because I didn't have that context to blur my thingy, basically. Blur my thingy, blur my views.
Yeah.
So, but submit, Annie, man. Submit in it, and then I'll read it.
Yeah.
Are you writing anything right now?
Yeah, I'm writing a sitcom idea. So I've got a meeting about that later with my agent.
Amazing.
Maybe I'll be sending that to Sadia.
Do you have a little role
HQ
for a little hijabi in there, Annie?
I'm sure I do. Is that how you get stuff commissioned?
Oh, you probably go for like Fatiha El Ghori, won't you? Now there's more hijabi comedians for you to pick from, so I'll have to actually audition and be good. But no, I read your baby shower, and obviously that, I thought that was amazing. So,
oh, thank you. Well, you were amazing.
Oh, but I can't believe you do the two, because obviously, you know, at the beginning I was like, I think you can only do one, but like, I've seen your art as well, and it's like really good.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, it's been good in lockdown having more time to focus on that.
Did you draw the COVID virus thing?
Did I draw it?
I would have drawn that if I were you.
I haven't ever drawn it, but
it was on the cover of an ice cream box.
Oh my god, it's quite a nice pattern, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah, you could say. I could have just made a dress for her for like 20 quid.
Do you make dresses?
No, listen, you're gonna laugh, man. I did take a sewing course, and then
you quit after 2 weeks?
Yeah. That was the hardest course I've ever done. And I felt like the pressure. And actually, oh my God, it was so embarrassing because I even bought a sewing machine.
Mm.
But then we were cutting
patterns. They're expensive, aren't they?
It was at the time. I was cutting patterns and I just thought, what am I doing with myself? And so I stopped doing it. And I gave the sewing machine to somebody else.
We are going to be at Latitude Festival from the 22nd to the 25th of July, doing a live podcast recording with a very, very special guest. So look out for us there. It's going to be incredibly exciting to be back at a festival and doing this podcast live. Can you imagine? Well, you don't have to imagine. Just come. Just come and see us.
What are we going to do about these sort of commitment issues, Sadia?
I think that was it. I think everybody on that course wanted to be on the course and wanted to make clothes. And yeah. I wanted to know how, but I didn't have the thing in me, the fashion designer in me that was like, I'm going to make like the next Valentino or the next, what was that one? The program? Versace. I'm not going to make the next Versace. You know what I mean? I didn't have that kind of thingy. So I felt, I don't know, maybe I just should have carried on. But yeah, I understand the process of like making a pattern and cutting the pattern and like I didn't mind the technical thingy of it, but I didn't have the design.
That's interesting. So you would rather someone else designed it and then you were the sort of practical one actually making it?
Yes.
So you like the sort of logistics of it?
Well, I think, you know what, like growing up, I think knowing how to like sew a button on or like to do like basic seamstress stuff is like quite an Asian thing, so I think I was trying to find my Asian things, my Asian roots or something, and I kept quitting at that, which is not good.
Was that the same with the henna course?
Yeah, I felt like I wanted to do something, and the makeup obviously hadn't worked out for me at that point, so I did the henna stuff, and then I just knew that my hand wasn't fast enough, and I was just taking a little bit too long. So, it was, again, it was a thing like an Asian rites of passage. It was something that I felt that a good Asian should know how to do.
Well, I guess you do know how to do it now, so you can.
Just badly.
How long does it last, henna?
I think the correct answer would be it depends on how much you wash. So
right.
No, I'm joking. Like, I think can be a week or two, depending on like how strong the henna is, and like if you're always washing dishes and stuff, like then, or swimming, it will probably rinse off a little bit sooner.
I definitely remember having it when I went on holiday, maybe to Turkey.
Did you like
I had like a seahorse or a dolphin or something?
You had it?
Yeah.
What colour did the colour come out on you?
I feel like I remember it was like an olive green when it came out of the tube, and then it brushes off, and then it went like a dark reddy brown, maybe?
Nice. That's what it's meant to be. Because there's also, so this might be too much, Annie, but there's also black henna, which is like illegal, and like people have had their limbs amputated. So
What?
Avoid the black henna.
Where is it illegal?
I think it's like India. It might be Pakistan or India, one of them. But I remember going on the course and they were like, some bride had to have her hand amputated or something because they put like the black henna. It looks really nice, you know, like it looks nice. But if you're the layman on the street, you wouldn't know that that's not like, you know, whatever the chemicals is in there, basically. So just stick with
it. So what? She had to have her hands amputated because it was poisonous?
Yes. Right. I think they put some chemical in there, basically. The dye, I don't know, but it's not like natural. Like normal henna is natural. It's like a plant. Right? It's from the plant.
Yeah. That's scary.
Sorry.
Sorry.
Then they also put like glitter on. So I got really into it. And like you put a bit of glitter and glue. So like you have the henna design and then you kind of like put dots of like gold and silver and a bit sparkly. So there's like loads of nice ways of jazzing it up.
Yeah. So if you got married,
I think a part of me thought that if I do the henna course, I'll get married, Annie. And that didn't happen. So I'm not sure if I was quitting henna or just quitting the fact that I was... Does that make sense? I don't know. But yeah. What were you saying? Sorry.
I just wondered if you had like a specific design in mind if you ever got married. Like, do you know what you would get?
I think like one of those on that we just saw, like up to the elbows, I'd like proper get my whole hand done. But like just a small and fine and detailed. There's like some real well-known henna artist in this country. So I'd probably go for one of those like basically high profile ones.
Quick fire round. Abstract or realism?
Abstract.
Tate Modern or Tate Britain?
What is the difference on that?
Two different galleries. One's like contemporary and one's sort of older artworks.
I'll go for the older one. Which one is that?
Tate Britain.
Britain, yeah. Okay, cool.
Dawn or dusk?
Oh, that's a good one. I like fucking up both. Dawn is rarer and dusk is sexy, but dawn is rarer. I don't know. I'm going to go for dusk, but I don't know why.
Okay. Writing or performing?
Okay, let's go for writing.
Permanent tattoo or henna?
Henna.
Tortured artist or rational producer?
Oh, shit. I say tortured artist. Can't believe I said that, but yeah.
Oak tree or weeping willow?
Oak tree.
Private view or view of privates?
View of privates.
Invisibility or super strength?
Yeah, super strength.
Can you separate the art from the artist?
I think it depends on who it is, yes.
Art or tech?
Art.
Art or food?
Oh, shit. Art.
And finally, dicks or pussies?
Dicks!
I think the ones you answered quickest on were private view or view of privates and dicks or pussies. She knows what she likes.
I'm so scared.
Oh my God, it's great. It's I love it.
Oh my God.
It's really cool. You've done loads of detail.
That's the leaf was rubbish. And I started to try to do the person and that was rubbish. So I just carried on with what I was doing.
I really like it. I love how sort of wobbly the branches are. And also it's like a cutout. Like there's nothing in the background. It's all like all the lines are really certain and definite. It's great. Oh, it's really cool.
Thank you. I can't wait to see yours.
Well, mine, I don't know if you can see very well. It's on... Because it's on card.
Oh my God, I can. It's literally the picture. It's so good. You're so good. Oh my God, the people are amazing. And you've got like, you know, the shadows of the trunk. Like the lighting is really, really like perfect.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, wow.
I just spat on the back of it by mistake. Can you see that?
That's good. I love it. It's better with a spit, actually, you know?
Yeah. Thanks so much, Sadia. It's been really nice to chat to you.
Thank you. Sorry if I was a bit waffly, but it was really nice to talk to you as well.
What a lovely, funny gal. Remember to follow her on social media at Sadia_Azmats_. Yeah, why not? Why not have an underscore at the end as well? If you want to see mine and Sadia's drawings from today's episode, then follow Secret Artists on social media at Secret Art Pod. Hope you enjoyed the episode and hope you have really, really nice days. Goodbye.
Secret Artists is a Turtle Canyon comedy production for Acast. Music by Alistair Clayton. Quickfire Round music by Steve Dunn.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.